Well, March Madness is upon us, and as you fill out your bracket and watch the NCAA tournament this year, there are a few retirement planning lessons that you can learn along the way. We'll tell you what they are next.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Welcome in. This is the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George with Tim Dyer at Dyer Wealth Management in La Jolla, California. Tim, we're a hockey podcast, right? Hockey-themed podcast, I guess. We don't talk hockey all the time, but a hockey-themed podcast. Today, we're shifting gears to basketball.
Well, at this time of year, you kind of have to. I know the Super Bowl was, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, and that's a big deal, and that's not hockey, but next up is March, and we all know what that means. March Madness. Get your brackets ready.
Yeah, it's a great time of the year. I love March Madness. I'll have a few brackets. I do, you know, a number of pools, so I stay pretty active. What about you? You get into it yet? Is it something that you look forward to every year?
Oh, I'll fill out a bracket. Warren Buffett used to have a little contest that you could fill out a bracket on his website. And if you got it 100% correct, you could get $1 million, you
know? Yeah.
Nobody does. It's so statistically impossible to get everything, you know. There was some nuances. You got to have the scores and stuff, but for the final game. But I haven't done that in a few years. I'll have to look and see if it's still available. But I like to get a bracket or two filled out, you know, throw some long shots in there and maybe one that's a little bit more stable.
Do your kids do it at all?
Too young. Plus, yeah. I'm busy chasing around with hockey sticks.
That's true. Well, we're going to look through it here and look through some of the unique characteristics of the NCAA tournament and filling out a bracket and everything that goes with the excitement around that and apply it towards what you do every day, Tim. So I'll set you up and you kind of apply it to wealth management and retirement planning as we go through this. So,
like pickleball, back and forth.
Back and forth.
Throw an idea and we'll see how it relates.
We're going to add every sport to this before it's over with.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so predicting outcomes, that's our first theme here. So if you're like a lot of people that fill out a bracket, you get done, you look at it and you go, you know what, this is the one. I feel pretty good mm-hmm. about the way this is going to shake out. I don't see how any of this can go wrong. But then, of course, it always does, usually the first or second game on Thursday, and all of a sudden you're trying to figure it out from there. So how is this like retirement planning, right? Because I know things change. They don't always go the way you expect, do they?
Yeah, they don't. And I know what you're talking about. You look at that bracket, and it's almost like you want to just kiss the paper. You're like, this is it, you know.
Exactly.
But you know deep down that the second you hit enter and, you know, lock in your picks, you know that it's all going to change, right? The games, the randomness, the, you know, the long shots, the number one seed getting upset or whatever. You know, these things happen. And I think most people are certainly aware of the fact that, okay, there's going to be some changes in this. This is very similar in our financial planning process. We don't have all the answers. We don't know how long people are going to live. We don't know what the stock market's going to do each year. I mean, there's a lot of variables that go through it. But with planning, it's really taking a look at where are we today? You know, what's the gaps and things that we're trying to solve for? But okay, when do we need to revisit? When do we need to readjust the different things? Unlike the bracket that once you're locked in, you're locked in. Those are your picks. With retirement income planning, and even planning in general, you're just adapting along the way. So it's kind of nice if you could sort of fill out that first round and then the second round and then the third round, you know, if you could do it along the way versus trying to figure it all up out front and just hoping it tracks that exactly, because we know that that's a low probability of happening. Well, I'll mention one other thing too, yeah, on that, Ben. When we think about the brackets, whether you're, you know, my mom, when she fills them out, it's like, oh, I love the color of this team or their, mm-hmm. their mascot mm-hmm. or something fun. I heard of this player. He's really good. But we get something that's called recency bias. Okay. And that is one of the risks that's out there, that our minds, our brain tends to believe that what happened recently is what will continue to happen. I think I was looking at the top 25 polls. You've got UConn. They've I think they were 24-3. they haven't lost a game at home, right? So the again, this is regular season, but like, oh, they haven't lost a game at home. Houston hasn't lost a game at home. Purdue hasn't lost a game at home. Arizona hasn't lost a game at home. So you just kind of assume like, hey, these guys will run the table when they're at home. But you look at their away, and UConn's 6-3 on the road. Houston's 4-3. They're just a little over 500. So the recency bias of what people have done, and I think about this when I think of investments. Last year, we had stocks like NVIDIA and Microsoft and Facebook. They were just up a ton. And there's a belief that, oh, well, that's just going to happen again next year. And that isn't always the case. So recency bias is something that you want to be careful of because the situation or the rules of the game are always changing.
All right. So what about upsets? This is the big part of March Madness. We always know there's going to be a Cinderella story. We love to see it. We love to hear. There was a couple last year, some deep runs. San Diego State, Tim, I'm sure you probably kept a close eye on them as they made a run to the Final Four. But I think that it's all about perspective when you look at upsets, because if you're on the wrong end of an upset, you hate the fact that it happened. But for the most part, you love it. But a lot of this can be applied to the financial world, right? It just depends on what your perspective is and what side you're on to tell you whether or not you're happy about those upsets.
Yeah, I had this very conversation the other day with a client. And what we were talking about is we were talking about the future expectations of the stock market. We're talking near term. So 2024, you know, what's the outlook and things? And, you know, look, we prefaced that conversation around like, we never know exactly how this is going to turn out. Based on the way things are lining up, we think this, this, and this. And this particular client just was really worried about a specific issue, and whatever it is, it's not important, the specific. But, you know, what was interesting is that he had, because he'd gotten a recent bonus, he had up to, I think it was 40% of his account value was in cash, sort of, you know, on the sideline because he just received it from this bonus. And I said to him, I said, you know, I think you're looking at this from the wrong angle. Right, we talked about when he wants, he's a younger guy, when you want to retire, and it's, you know, 15 years out plus. And I said, what are you telling your, you know, what are you telling yourself that's 15 years in the future, right? Your 60-year-old self, if you will. And he says, you know, probably to invest more aggressively or for more growth. And I said, okay. But I said, you know, you're thinking about this as your current investments, where they are, that they might go down. And I said, well, what is that? Typically, you know, I need to be careful I choose my words here before the compliance people take over. But, you know, when we get declining markets, we're really talking about a temporary decline in value, right? Now, there's risks. You have to take money out to, you know, use it when markets are down. That's a different risk. But the point I'm making is, I said, instead of focusing on your existing investments and them going down a little bit or maybe even a lot, think about that powder keg you've got of cash that you can use to take advantage of that. And you now have, you know, 40% of your account. You should almost be rooting for that, you know, to have this sort of big, what do they call it? The Nordstrom's, you know, half yearly sale where everything's 30-40% off. And you've got the firepower, the dry powder, if you will, to take advantage of that. So tying it into the upsets, depends on what side you're on, actually might not be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It could be a good thing.
All right, we're talking about March Madness, applying some of these lessons to financial planning and what Tim does every day at Dyer Wealth. If you have a question, 858-459-3937. If you want to sit down and go through your situation and look ahead to your future and lay out your goals, it's the best way to get in touch. All right, what about picking your favorite team to win it all? This is very easy to do too. You always pick by your heart, right? That's you always want that to come through, and you always try to will it into existence sometimes, right? What is this like when it comes to what you do?
That's funny, because I remember growing up on the East Coast, we had Boston College, you know, good basketball team, UConn, a little farther down the road, you know, good basketball team, men and women. But when you think about the bracket, you hear about all these schools from like all over the place that like you'd never heard of. Again, I'm older, I've heard of them all now, but like, you know, Gonzaga, you're like, what's a Gonzaga, you know? And some of these other, you know, Saint schools, you know, Saint Bonaventure or, you know, Saint John's when they had Chris Mullen. You're like, I've never heard of these schools before. But I think about that because, yes, anybody can, you know, enter the arena, right? A lot of teams get into the tournament, and there's a tendency to gravitate to ones that we know, whether they're good or bad, right? This particular, as it relates to planning, this is actually called anchoring, okay? And I'll give you an example. If you work for an employer, and we have Qualcomm here, and we work with a lot of people at Qualcomm and Northrop Grumman and Illumina and some of the big companies here, but, you know, employees that work there, they accumulate quite a bit of that company stock. And on the one hand, they're in tune with the company. You know, they can feel the pulse of it. They work there. They kind of know if morale is high or low. In some cases, they have an idea of what some of the, you know, financial projections are and things like that. But they feel comfortable with that particular stock, even though it may be high risk. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? I mean, you can keep all your eggs in one basket. Again, got to be careful what we say here, because that will have higher concentration. If that one particular company does really well, you can do really well, right? So they say you want to have concentrated positions to get rich and diversified positions to stay rich. Again, a little bit of a rule of thumb. I don't think you take it too literally, but if you're anchored too much to your company, even if it's a good one, you may be blinded to the opportunities that might be right next to you, to a company that has better upside potential, that is in a different sector that you may not know a lot about. And, you know, by anchoring just to one company or one price, it can leave you hanging. I'll say this too. When I started in the career in 1998, this one particular company, Qualcomm, was going through, you know, some rapid growth. And it was one of the first times I'd ever seen a stock analyst put a $1,000 price target on a stock. And it went up like 400 points over the next couple. It was insane. But what happened was, okay, some of the fervor of the company started to taper off, and clients had anchored in their mind to the that highest price that they'd seen, right? Because we're wired to say, or even in real estate, oh, my house was, you know, it's worth $2 million. And, you know, now it's down to 1.7. Like, I'll just wait till it gets to $2 million. That's called anchoring. The prices of these things don't care. They don't have a memory of what it was in the past. So we can be cognizant of it and what's possible, but we really don't want to anchor to it because it may not be beneficial when it comes to a financial plan.
All right. We got a couple more here, Tim. Risk. Let's address risk for a minute. It's a big part of picking your bracket. You always want to find and try to identify the upsets you think are going to happen. So you take a lot of risk and try to separate yourself from the field. And it's okay to take a little risk here and there, but you don't want to go all in on upsets, do you?
No, you'll be out of the game quickly if you do that, right? Investing is no different. If you want to you know, put all your money in really aggressive penny stocks, you're not going to be in the game very long. So, you know, some people, they carve a little out, and I mean a little out. We call this a sandbox. We might set up a separate account for clients and say, you know, you can put this much money in and play around with it. But this isn't a part of your plan, right? This is literally almost like gambling money. So yeah, when it comes to risky picks, you know, there's a reason why these teams are ranked high, right, in basketball, March Madness, because they have a proven track record. Time and time again, they've proven that they can, you know, weather different situations and, you know, conditions in games, and they tend to pull it out. So you want to assemble something like that in your retirement portfolio. And you want the specific investments that are designed to grow your money to keep it above inflation and taxes. You want proven winners that can do that, right? No guarantees, but you want to put the probabilities on your side. Same thing with the income side of the portfolio. If you want something to provide current monthly, quarterly, or annual income, you want something that's got a long track record, a history of paying good, solid dividends or interest, right? If you're talking about a bond or a CD or something. So it's, you know, there's always a portion for risk, but dialing it up to what, dialing up or down to what clients can withstand or want to withstand is important.
All right, I got a couple more here I wanted to throw your way. Emotion is another, theme for the month of March and into April. And you don't want to have emotion, right, when you're picking your bracket. And I know, Tim, we've discussed it plenty here. Emotion's not a great thing for picking your investments either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're out on the East Coast and you know, you're in North Carolina, you either like Duke or
UNC.
Or North Carolina. Yeah. It's one or the other. It's not both. And I know how passionate those people. I've never been to a game there. I'd like, you know, I see those students jumping up and down. That looks like a good time. That place looks rocking. But yeah, certainly we want to avoid emotional decisions can work for or against you. But the thing about emotional decision making, and by the way, there's, you know, a lot of the big research coming out of financial think tanks and stuff is around this behavioral finance, which is specifically addressing emotions, is people are not successful at making unemotional decisions in the middle of turmoil or a situation, right? They've gotten better about understanding the fact that they might make emotional decisions when, say, stocks are extremely volatile. And so they're getting better or more educated on making decisions ahead of time that say, we're going to set portfolio, the plan, the, you know, the income, these types of things. We're going to set these up knowing that this may be coming at some point, and this is, you know, what's going to happen and how we're going to ride it through. So, you know, you're essentially setting yourself up to remove the emotion through understanding, clarity, and education. And that's going to ultimately give you a fairly significantly better outcome or potential outcome than, you know, just making these emotional decisions on a whim. That tends to get you out of good opportunities at the wrong time.
All right, last thing, the element of surprise. We've kind of summed it up throughout here. Surprises is fun, and what makes it so exciting to watch is you don't know what's going to happen from game to game. Upsets are a part of it, and we talked about retirement planning should account for life's unpredictability. So even though you might pick a surprise team to go for, it's very wise to go ahead and plan for these unexpected expenses and changes in your retirement, right?
You know, the things that are changing, we know that there are going to be things that change in retirement, right? We know that other factors are going to come up. We might not know when exactly, but you got to kind of roll with the punches. But let me shift gears here on this topic, Ben. When I think about it, if you take the March Madness up to kind of 10,000 feet, right, it's an enjoyable time. It's fun to watch games. There's you know, there's meaning, right? There's stuff on the line. If you lose, you go home, right? The best players in the world in college are all competing against each other. So kind of enjoying the ride is more kind of what I'm thinking. When you get in retirement, it's not like there's no end destination, right? It's not like, well, we got to the top of the hill and it's over, right? It's the journey. It's, are you doing the things that you said that you wanted to do? Are you, you know, taking the kids to Disneyland? Are you, get, you know, just taking the trips that you want to take? Are you finding the time to do the things that you're interested in? That's really the magic. Are you sort of enjoying the process? You know, again, I think you're one of those guys that like goes out to Vegas, right, for March Madness.
I've done it once.
You've done it once. Okay, I've got another buddy every year, just religiously goes out, and you know, he just goes out with buddies and they just enjoy the game and they plan for it every year. So it's not like they're surprised by plane tickets or hotel rates, which are going to be elevated. They plan ahead for it, and then they go there and they just have a good time, and that's what I want our clients to do. I mean, again, it might sound hokey, but I really, really push our clients to think about what it is they want, what they are or want to retire to, and let's check off some boxes on those experiences and make sure that we do some of those things, because we'll always have the memories, but we don't always need the money, you know? Mm-hmm. We can take the memories with us.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's kind of a good way to
close it
out.
Or I should
say
the memories stay behind, you know, the money doesn't.
Well, that's a good kind of way to cap it off, because it is, you know, much like the tournament, you want to enjoy the ride as you go through it. It's very similar to what you just said, and enjoying the ride of life and retirement. So good way to close it out, Tim. I hope you're able to fill out a bracket this year and enjoy it. Maybe win a pool or two. Maybe win a little bit of money. Maybe even sneak off to Vegas if you catch a wild hare. Who knows? But appreciate your time as always. And again, if you want to learn more about what Tim does and also the seminars that he's got going on and from time to time, learn about when the next one will be, what it'll cover, you can always give him a call at 858-459-3937 or online, dyerwm.com. Tim, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk soon.
Good luck to your teams.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.